Guard his innards, Gaeta hit the vehicle's roof. His momentum pushed him to his knees, and he put out his gloved hands to stop himself from tumbling over the edge of the roof. For a few heart-pounding moments, he remained on his hands and knees, puffing hard. Then, "I'm down. I'm on Alpha's rooftop." "Good," said Fritz.
Urbain had locked himself in his office to follow the stuntman's mission through a closed-loop hookup with the mission controllers. Von Helmholtz had offered him a virtual reality rig, but Urbain had rejected it. "I'm here to rescue Alpha," he told himself, "not to indulge in vicarious entertainment." Alpha's controllers were down the hall at their consoles, he knew, and also linked to his desktop electronically. Urbain had ordered Habib and the rest of his computer team to stand by at the control center. "Everything is in readiness," Urbain told himself. "Everyone is at their posts." He had not realized how tightly he'd been wound until Gaeta announced, "I'm down. I'm on Alpha's rooftop." At that instant, Urbain felt everything inside him turn to jelly. He slumped in his desk chair, too weak to lift his arms, barely able to breathe. "Am I having a stroke?" he asked himself. "A heart attack?" His face felt flushed. He was perspiring, yet he felt cold, almost shivering. For several moments he sat there, unable to move. Then, with a deep, shuddering breath, he pulled himself straighter in the chair. "He's there with Alpha," Urbain told himself. "Now the real work begins."
Gaeta reviewed his mission priorities, listed on the display splashed across one side of his visor. "Check the uplink antenna. Establish contact with the master computer program. Deploy the nanomachine package to build a new uplink antenna." Mentally, he added a final priority. "Get your ass out of here as soon as you can." Climbing to his feet with a whir and buzz of servo motors moving his arms and legs, Gaeta slowly turned around to survey the scene. "I'm on the surface of Titan," he announced for the benefit of the paying audience. "Standing on the roof of the roving vehicle Titan Alpha. This is not a sightseeing stunt, though. I'm here to repair Alpha and get it functioning again." Pecking at the keyboard inside his suit, Gaeta displayed the schematic of the uplink antenna. It was built into the forward section of the roof, half a dozen steps from where he stood. He wriggled his arm back into the suit's sleeve and stepped carefully toward the thin lines that marked the antenna's location. Berkowitz's voice came through his earphones. We're hearing an odd sighing sound, almost like a moan. Can you tell us what it is?" Suppressing his irritation at being interrupted, Gaeta said curtly, "That's the wind. You're hearing the wind of Titan. It's slow but steady, sort of like an ocean tide on Earth." "Now let me get back to work," he added silently. It was difficult to look down at his boots from inside the cumbersome suit, so Gaeta stopped about a meter short of the roof's front edge and swept his eyes along the antenna's hairline pattern. The cameras built into his helmet were slaves to the motions of his eyes, so he knew that Urbain and his staff, and the paying customers linked to him through virtual reality, were seeing what he saw. "The audience won't see this for a couple of hours," he thought. "Takes more than an hour to get a signal to Earth. And the sensors there are delaying the broadcast just in case something comes up that frosts the religious cabarons." "I don't see any damage to the antenna," Gaeta said. For several moments he heard nothing but the hiss of static coming from the stars in his earphones. Fritz spoke up.
"Urbain's people are analyzing the imagery."
"Looks okay to me," Gaeta repeated. He stepped up the magnification of his optical sensors. "No breaks in the antenna. No sign of damage anywhere in sight."
"Let them make that decision," said Fritz.
Gaeta straightened up and turned slowly in a full circle, panning so that his audience could see the surface of Titan.
"This is Titan," he said for the benefit of his audience. "It's kind of like a smoggy day in L.A., but no buildings, no lights, no traffic or noise. You can hear the breeze, but nothing else is moving down here."
Pointing with an outstretched arm, he went on. "The ground's kind of gooey looking. Most of it's bland and dark in color, rolling gently. Reminds me of snowbanks after a blizzard.
But this snow is black, dull, seems to absorb light instead of reflect it. He looked outward toward the horizon. Not a star in the sky, not even a glow to mark where the sun is. Wait, there's a smudge of something up there. Saturn, maybe. It's just too cloudy to see anything clearly. Not much of a scenic view for the customers, Gaeta thought. Fritz's voice startled him out of his sightseeing. Urbain wants to talk to you. Fine. Patch him through. Several seconds of hesitation. Then Urbain's tight, tense voice. Mr. Gaeta, your equipment includes a diagnostic probe for the uplink antenna. Right, he replied. Got it right here on my belt. He patted the pouch at his waist with a gloved hand. Please connect the probe to the antenna's maintenance receptacle. Okay. It was clumsy, digging the pencil-slim diagnostic probe from the pouch with his gloved hand. Gaeta nearly dropped the slender cylinder. Then he had to kneel down in the suit, no easy task, to insert the probe into the antenna's test slot. Done, he said at last, blinking sweat from his eyes. Good. Please activate the probe. Activating.
Urbain leaned forward in his desk chair, watching on his desktop display as Gaeta connected the probe to the antenna testing circuitry. The antenna's circuit schematic flashed onto the display screen. No breaks, Urbain saw. Current is flowing through the circuit as designed. The antenna is functional. There's nothing wrong with it. Licking his lips nervously, Urbain commanded, "Uplink stored data," speaking as clearly as he knew how. His command was relayed at the speed of light to the control center, then to the commsats in orbit around Titan, and finally to Alpha's central computer. Nearly 12 seconds ticked by, as slowly as drops of blood dripping from a wound. Uplink command aborted. The words burned on Urbain's display screen like a branding iron searing his flesh. His voice quavering slightly, Urbain repeated, "Uplink all stored data. Uplink command aborted." Urbain pounded a fist on his desk, so hard that pain shot up the length of his arm. He saw the yellow message light begin to blink in the lower corner of his screen. The data bar running along the screen's bottom showed it was Habib, calling from the control center. "Answer," Urbain gasped, rubbing his throbbing arm. "Dr. Urbain," said Habib, his neatly bearded face filling the screen, erasing the damning words. "We should link with the master program. Only the master program has the option of aborting commands." Urbain closed his eyes momentarily. Then, as calmly as he could, he replied, "Very well. Tell the stuntman to link with the master program."
28 May, 2096. Interface. Timoshenko had a thundering headache as he walked deliberately down the corridor that led to the airlock. He'd drunk himself into a stupor the night before, sitting alone in his threadbare apartment, drinking vodka concocted at one of the farms and sold clandestinely throughout the habitat. One bottle hadn't been enough to dull the pain that surged through him like a flow of red-hot lava, so he started in on a second. As he struggled with its plastic stopper, he noticed that there were no more bottles in the kitchen cabinet. He'd bought 6, he distinctly remembered. Well, he told himself, I'll have to find the guy who sells them and buy a few more. Or maybe not. Maybe, he thought, I have enough to last me the rest of my life. Link with the master program? Gaeta asked. He didn't recognize Habib's voice, but whoever it was that was speaking to him, the guy seemed to know what he was talking about. You've been briefed on connecting with the central computer, Habib said, half-questioning. Yeah, right, Gaeta said. But what about the uplink antenna? You want me to unload the nanos and build a new one for you? The 12-second hesitation was getting on Gaeta's nerves. You ask a question and then wait. I could get flattened by an asteroid before they come up with the frickin' answer. No, not at this time. Keep the nanos bottled. We need to connect with the master